automatic. Nothing stays static. Ovoid transistors lie veiled in the attic. Bright floating lights that had left you forlorn. You could have sworn that you had it. When young and aloof, the age before disproof, you had your
peeps of Peg City and the Global Village, welcome to Whoop It Up with UMFM, our Summer of 23 mini-series spotlight on the Whoop-N-Holler Folk Festival. They call me Bruce, and I'll be your host. The Whoop-N-Holler Folk Festival takes place under the Cottonwoods, just outside Portage-la-Prairie, Manitoba, August 26th and 27th. Full details online at whoopandholler.com and all socials. Series episodes can be found at umfm.com. 101.5 UMFM is a proud media sponsor. Episode number 3, Bicycle Face. Formed in 2013, Bicycle Face is Ava Glendening and Teresa Thorderson, who happen to be second cousins once removed. Bicycle Face creates beautiful dream pop with clever lyrics of ambivalent fairy tale heroines, lost love in outer space, and computer viruses set on world domination. The duo has since released a trio of EPs and several singles. Pick them up at Bandcamp and follow Bicycle Face on your socials. Welcome, Ava and Teresa. This is a real treat.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start with the band. What is the current member count? Because you've gone from duo to quartet to duo. What are you bringing to the festival?
We are a duo at the festival, and yeah, that is the core of Bicycle Face. We have occasionally expanded to a 4 or 5 piece when we do a big release of an EP or album.
And the name, Bicycle Face, I always thought that Bicycle Face was a play on Bodie McBoatface and all those jokes that went there. But I have since learned by Googling Bicycle Face, there's a deep, dark, almost buried history to the term. In short, bicycles and feminism gained popularity around the same time in the late 1800s, and bicycles gave women a newfound freedom. They were now able to go anywhere they wanted, and that helped spread the word about equal rights. And of course, this movement had to be countered, so a medical condition called bicycle face was created. Keep in mind that eugenics and phrenology were also considered science at this time. Now this ailment manifested itself with flushed cheeks, sweaty brows, like any bike ride would. But it also had bulging eyes and other non-existent reefer madness-like symptoms. That's a really interesting history. Dark, but interesting. So why the band name? Does it have a deep significance for you personally, or there has to be something behind it?
I think I came across the term when I was just like down in an internet wormhole somehow. I don't remember what led me to it, but it definitely resonated. I think just as a performer, often when you're getting up on stage, you feel like you have to look perfect or do things in a perfect way. And in social media, this is also true. So it felt like embracing some bicycle face and just embracing the bulging eyes when you're like in the middle of a solo resonated with me at the time.
And it just seemed to fit us so well. Like, I feel like we do have a serious element and we do come at music with like a bit of like thinking of feminism, but also we're pretty goofy and we're a bit DIY, and Sam from Witch Police even once called us punk rock in terms of aesthetic. And I feel like Bicycle Face just captures a lot of that.
Sam's far more punk than I am, so if he says so, I will take his word for it. We love Witch Police. Check out Witch Police on wherever you get your podcasts. Getting back to you, why is the logo sad? It's a great logo, but it's sad. This comes from my six-year-old daughter, by the way.
Well, I created the logo from my bed using Microsoft Paint and a glass of wine. And I think it was just the stroke of inspiration when I went to draw the mouth on the bicycle face. It just became sad, and it felt right.
Yeah, I think Teresa sent it to me, and I'm pretty sure you told me it was the first take. It was like, you had not made that line more than once. Yeah. We were like, yep, that's the one.
I find there is a common thread in Manitoba music. There's several, but one of them is there's always a touch of melancholy, but beautiful melancholy. And into a serious topic, in 2016... Bicycle Face split into Unicycle Face CDA, Canada, and Unicycle Face USA. It was difficult and acrimonious, it seemed to be from the outside looking in, but there was great rejoicing, I can tell you that. From the outside looking in, there was great rejoicing when the wheels united. You put that in the past and moved on. Not many bands can say that. How did you survive? Take us through the journey. What change of heart, forgiveness, revelations, epiphanies, what led you getting back together, and how are you stronger from the experience?
Well, Teresa just moved away out of the blue. Just all of a sudden, we're this, like, you know, band. It's like been a band for a while. And then she, like, suddenly, like, I gotta pursue my dreams and get a master's degree and become a successful working musician person. And, you know, that's difficult for a band that could have been on the brink of stardom. And I did actually think that CDA was the acronym for Canada at the time. Like, everybody thought that was part of the joke, but I did think that that's what it was. Yeah.
It is, in a way, because if you watch enough sports, especially when it comes to international, quite often Canada is CDA.
Oh, it was just your cosmopolitan international flair. Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah, it was, you know, long distance is hard. I don't think that breakup
found either of us at our best on the internet.
Yes,
and you probably still find it. Maybe a few drunken rants still on Facebook.
But, you know, there was some genuine concern from our older family members, and I think maybe just realizing how much the band meant to other people, we really were committed to reuniting, and I moved back, and, you know, it's like it never happened.
Yeah, we healed the rift.
We healed it, yeah.
We can tell from the giggles that it's you know, and it's beautiful. There is nothing more beautiful in the world than laughter. So how are you stronger from the experience?
Yeah, our Christmas EP was made like entirely long distance because Ava got COVID like in the early days. And so we still made that album ourselves and we made all the videos, and I think it like maybe even cemented our DIY aesthetic, and we embraced some new skills through it. So I think it's given us some confidence to be able to keep going.
What was the attraction to doing a Christmas album? I know and it goes part and parcel with you did a Christmas show for a number of years.
Yeah, well, at one point our bio was mostly non-Christmas joy pop. That was how we described our music, because we did have a Christmas with Nirvana. We would transform into the Christmas band Nirvana every December, and that was actually, we did that before we were ever named Bicycle Face. So
yeah.
It was until I moved away and the rift happened. It was a tradition, and we're hoping to bring it back. So keep an eye out for this coming December. We would love to reignite that.
Yeah, we did it at least 6 years, I think, and then in the pandemic we did the Christmas album instead, and yeah, we've always had some kind of Christmas event.
Speaking of Christmas, that brings up the star of Christmas, which takes us to outer space. Let's talk about space. You have a fascination with it. Preach to me. What intrigues you about outer space?
Well, so many things. Yeah, we released a full length album. It's all outer space concept album. And I think part of it was just there are so many ways you can approach space. You can come at it scientifically. You can come at it metaphorically. You can use the imagery to express so many different things. And when we came up with the idea, I think we already had maybe two space-themed songs. Teresa had written Rosetta about the Rosetta space shuttle and a comet that we don't remember the name of.
It's a long name. It's a long name. But the comet was singing. So I often will come across like a news article or like a scientific paper and just be struck with actually how poetic it is. And I think that's kind of the fun to like play with that. The science vocabulary is really fun to use lyric-wise. And also, yeah, it's just like, you can just interpret it in so many different ways.
As a science nerd and a writer, I am swooning that you say that if science writing is poetic. Oh.
Yeah, well, the first track of our album, The Fainting of a Nearby Supergiant Betelgeuse, it's a title of a scientific paper, and then it's just called The Fainting on the album, but like it's word for word, and I was like, this is beautiful, what's going on?
Weirdly beautiful. We were gonna record it as a space EP called EP Phone Home, which turns out there is an EP already called that. Because we were long distance for a while, by the time we actually were prepared to do some recording, we had enough space songs for a full-length album, which is kind of by chance. Yes.
A space/solar themed single that you've got is Icarus. In Greek mythology, Icarus flew too close to the sun. The wax wings that his father made for him melted, and he plummeted to his demise. The album cover is a spaceship cockpit with a very conspicuous screen with the old Shaw Weather Channel. There's got to be a story to that.
So the artist was Matea Radic, who made that album art and made a beautiful looped animation that is just such a perfect combination of wonderfully crafted and very silly. There is a very intriguing sock that is floating around the cockpit as well. And according to Matea, she was talking to another well-known artist in Winnipeg, I'm not going to name drop, and they actually suggested that, oh, you need that screen that was blank at the time, it has to be that Winnipeg Weather Channel. So it was kind of a collaborative effort, but not on our part. We just, yeah. It was kind of fun for, we haven't really done something where another artist just made something for us through commission, so that was really fun to see how she interpreted it, and I think it was perfect.
Is it more, I wouldn't say scary, but is it more, is there more trepidation or is there more excitement when you have an artist to interpret the music that you've put on it?
I found it really refreshing just because we have done so much on our own. All of our other music videos we've just done with our cameras, all of our art, well, as we said, our logo is Teresa, our past album art has been Teresa. So yeah, it was really nice to have Matea on board, and we also had Kelly Campbell do our art for the full-length album, which was really fun to see our vision realized by someone who had those skills.
So what song should we leave the folks with? Perhaps something that they're going to hear at the festival.
Okay, let's do Icarus. Yeah, I think that would be, since we just talked about it.
Yeah, and we will be playing that at the festival.
Yeah.
Ava and Teresa, thank you for joining us on Whoop It Up with UMFM.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for tuning in and supporting independent music, arts, and events. Check out all episodes at umfm.com. All details can be tickets, food, directions, artists, everything can be found at whoopandholler.com. Search Whoop and Holler on all social media, and please do join us in person August 26th and 27th. Until we meet again, be good, have fun, stay motivated.
Amongst all these heroes, I think I might have found the one. But like Emperor Nero, I'm flying too close to the sun. You might say, hey, don't you mean Icarus in you?